Children of the Hebrews, bearing branches of olive, went up to meet the children of the Hebrews, bearing branches of olive, went out to meet the
and sing praises to his name.
The children of the Hebrews, bearing branches of olive, went out to meet the Lord, crying out and saying, Hosanna.
Sing a new song to his name.
The children of the Hebrews, bearing branches of olive, went out to meet the Lord, crying out and saying, Hosanna. Et cum Spiritu Tuo,
sequentia Sancti Evangelii, secundum mutatum,
gloria tibi, Domine.
Jesus vent et vitis essentum, as he approached Bethphage and Bethany on the mount called Olivet, he sent two of his disciples with these instructions: go into the village straight ahead of you. Upon entering, if you will find an ass tied there, which no one has yet ridden, untie it and lead it back. If anyone should ask you, why are you untying the beast? Say, the master has need of it. They departed on their errand and found things just as he had said. As they untied the ass, its owner said to them, why are you doing that? They explained that the master needed it. Then they led the animal to Jesus, and laying their clothes on it, helped him mount. They spread their cloaks on the roadway as he moved along, and on his approach to the descent from Mount Olivet, the entire crowd of disciples began to rejoice and praise God loudly for the display of power they had seen, saying, blessed be he who comes as King in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest. Some of the Pharisees in the crowd said to him, teacher, rebuke your disciples. He replied, if they were to keep silence, I tell you, the very stones would cry out.
Procedamus in pace.
In nomine Christi, amen.
All glory, Lord, and honor to the Redeemer King, to whom the lips of children make sweet hosannas ring. Thou art the King of Israel, thou David's royal son.
Blessed one. Help us to bear witness to who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever.
Amen.
A reading from the book of Isaiah the prophet. The Lord has given me a well-trained tongue, that I might know how to speak to the weary a word that might rouse them. Morning after morning, he opens my ear that I may hear, and I have not rebelled, have not turned back. I gave my back to those who beat me, my cheeks to those who plucked my beard. My face I did not shield from buffets and from spitting. The Lord God is my help, therefore I am not disgraced. I have set my face like flint, knowing that I shall not be put to shame.
Amen.
A reading from the letter of Blessed Paul the Apostle to the Philippians. Your attitude must be Christ. Though he was in the form of God, he did not deem equality with God something to be grasped at. Rather, he emptied himself and took the form of a slave, being born in the likeness of men. He was known to be of human estate, and it was thus that he humbled himself, obediently accepting even death on a cross. Because of this, God highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name above every other name, so that at Jesus' name every knee must bend in the heavens, on the earth, and under the earth, and every tongue proclaim to the glory of God the Father, Jesus Christ is Lord.
Salvum facia Deo. and at that time, it was 2 days before the Passover and the feast of the unleavened bread. The chief priests and the scribes were seeking how they might seize him by stealth and put him to death. For they said,
"Look on the feast, or there might be a riot among the people."
And when he was at Bethany in the house of Simon the leper, and was reclining at table, there came a woman with an alabaster jar of ointment, genuine, not of great value. And breaking the alabaster jar, she poured it on his head. But there were some who were indignant among themselves and said,
"To what purpose has the waste of the ointment been made? For this ointment might have been sold for more than 300 denarii and given to the poor."
And they grumbled at her. But Jesus said,
"Let her be. Why do you trouble her? She has done me a good service. For the poor you have always with you, and whenever you want, you can do good to them. But you do not always have me. She has done what she could. She has anointed my body in preparation for burial. Amen, I say to you, wherever in the whole world this gospel is preached, this also that she has done shall be told in memory of her."
And Judas Iscariot, one of the 12, went to the chief priests to betray him to death. And he said, when they heard it were dead, and promised to give him money, and he was watching for an opportunity to betray him. And on the first day of the unleavened bread, when it was customary for them to sacrifice the Passover, the disciples said to him,
"Our gospel wants us to go and prepare for thee to eat the Passover."
And he sent two of his disciples and said to them,
"Go into the city, and there will meet you a man carrying a pitcher of water. Follow him, and wherever he enters, say to the master of the house, 'The master says, where is my guest chamber, that I may eat the Passover there with my disciples?' And he will show you a large upper room furnished. There make ready for us."
And his disciples went forth and came into the city, and found just as he had told them, and they prepared for the Passover. Now when evening arrived, he came with the 12. And when they were at table eating, Jesus said,
"Amen, I say to you, one of you will betray me, one who is eating with me."
But they began to be sad, and to say to him one by one,
"Is it one?"
But he said to them,
"It is one of the 12, one who dips with me in the dish. The Son of Man indeed goes his way, as it is written of him. But woe to that man by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. It were better for that man if he had not been born."
And while they were eating, Jesus Jesus took bread, and blessing it, he broke it and gave it to them, and said,
"Take, this is my body."
And taking a cup and giving thanks, he gave it to them, and they all drank of it. And he said to them,
"This is my blood of the new covenant, which is being shed for many. Amen, I say to you, that I will drink no more of the fruit of the vine until that day when I shall drink it new in the kingdom of God."
And after reciting a hymn, they went out to the Mount of Olives. And Jesus said to them,
"You will all be scandalized this night, for it is written, 'I will smite the shepherd, and the sheep will be scattered.' But after I have risen, I will go before you into Galilee."
But Peter said to him,
"Even though I shall be scandalized, yet not I."
Jesus said to him,
"Amen, I say to thee, today, this very night, before a cock crows twice, thou wilt deny me thrice."
But he went on speaking more vehemently,
"Even if I should have to die with thee, I will not deny thee."
And they all said the same thing. And they came to a country place called Gethsemane. And he said to his disciples,
"Sit down here while I pray."
And he took with him Peter and James and John. And he began to feel dread and to be exceedingly troubled. And he said to them,
"My soul is sad, even unto death. Wait here and watch."
And going forward a little, he fell on the ground and began to pray that if it were possible, the hour might pass from him. And he
Abba, Father, all things are possible to thee. Remove this cup from me, yet not what I will, but what thou willest."
Then he came and found them sleeping, and he said to Peter,
"Simon, dost thou sleep? Couldst thou not watch 1 hour? Watch and pray, that you may not enter into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak."
And again he went away and prayed, saying the same words over. And he came again and found them sleeping, for their eyes were heavy, and they did not know what answer to make to him. And he came the third time and said to them,
"Sleep on now and take your rest. It is enough, the hour has come. Behold, the Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners. Rise, let us go. Behold, he who will betray me is at hand."
And while he was yet speaking, Judas Iscariot, one of the 12, came, and with him a great crowd with swords and clubs, from the chief priests and the scribes and the elders. Now his betrayer had given them a sign, saying,
Whomever I kiss, that is he. Lay hold of him and lead him safely away.
And when he came, he went straight up to him and said,
Rabbi,
and kissed him. And they seized him and held him. But one of the bystanders drew his sword and struck the servant of the high priest and cut off his ear. And Jesus, addressing them, said,
As against a robber you have come out with swords and clubs to seize me. I was daily with you in the temple teaching, and you did not lay hands on me. But it is so that the scriptures may be fulfilled.
Then all his disciples left him and fled. And a certain young man was following him, having a linen cloth wrapped about his naked body, and they seized him. But leaving the linen cloth behind, he fled away from them naked. And they led Jesus away to the high priest, and all the priests and scribes and the elders gathered together. But Peter followed him at a distance, even to the courtyard of the high priest, and was sitting with the attendants at the fire and warming himself. Now the chief priests and all the Sanhedrin were seeking witness against Jesus, that they might put him to death, but they found none. For while many bore false witness against him, their evidence did not agree. And some stood up and bore false witness against him, saying,
We ourselves have heard him say, I will destroy the temple built by hands, and after 3 days I will build another not built by hands.
And even then their evidence did not agree. Then the high priest, standing up in their midst, asked Jesus, saying,
Dost thou make no answer to the things these men prefer against thee?
But he kept silent and made no answer. Again the high priest began to ask him and said to him,
Art thou the Christ, the Son of the Blessed One?
And Jesus said to him,
I am. And you shall see the Son of Man sitting at the right hand of the power and coming with the clouds of heaven.
But the high priest tore his garments and said,
What further need have we of witnesses? You have heard the blasphemy. What do you think?
And they all condemned him as liable to death. And some began to spit on him, and to blindfold him and buffet him, and to say to him,
Prophesy.
And the attendants struck him with the blows of their hands. And while Peter was below in the courtyard, there came out one of the maidservants of the high priest. And seeing Peter warming himself, she looked closely at him and said,
Thou also wast with Jesus of Nazareth.
But he denied it, saying,
I neither know nor understand what thou art saying.
And he went outside into the vestibule, and the cock crowed. And the maidservant, seeing him again, began to say to the bystander,
This is one of them.
But again he denied him. And after a little while, the bystanders again said to Peter,
Surely thou art one of them, or thou art also a Galilean.
But he began to curse and to swear,
I do not know the man you are talking about.
And at that
rock crowed a second time. And Peter remembered the words that Jesus had said to him, "Before a cock crows twice, thou wilt deny me thrice." And he began to weep. And again, as soon as it was morning, the chief priests held consultation with the elders, the scribes, and the whole Sanhedrin. And they bound Jesus and led him away and delivered him to Pilate. And Pilate asked him,
"Art thou the king of the Jews?"
And he answered him, the chief priest accused him of many things. And Pilate again asked him, saying,
"Hast thou no answer to me? Behold how many things they accuse thee of."
But Jesus made no further answer, so that Pilate wondered. Now at festival time, he used to release to them one of the prisoners, whomever they had petitioned for. Now there was a man called Barabbas, imprisoned with some rioters, one who in a riot had committed murder. And the crowd came up and began to ask that he do for them as he was wont. But Pilate addressed them, saying,
"Do you wish that I release to you the king of the
For he knew that the chief priests had delivered him up out of envy. But the chief priests stirred up the crowd to have them release Barabbas for them instead. But Pilate again spoke and said to them,
"What then do you want me to do to the king of the Jews?"
But they cried out again,
"Crucify him."
But Pilate said to them,
"Why, what evil has he done?"
But they kept crying out the more,
"Crucify him."
So Pilate, wishing to satisfy the crowd, released to them Barabbas, but Jesus he scourged and delivered to be crucified. Now the soldiers led him away into the courtyard of the praetorium, and they called together the whole cohort. And they clothed him in purple, and plaiting a crown of thorns, they put it upon him and began to greet him,
"Hail, King of the Jews."
And they kept striking him on the head with a reed, and spitting upon him, and bending their knees, they did homage to him. And when they had mocked him, they took the purple off him and put on him his own garments and led him up to crucify him. And they forced a certain passerby, Simon of Cyrene, coming from the country, the father of Alexander and Rufus, to take up his cross. And they brought him to the place called Golgotha, which translated is the place of the skull. And they gave him wine to drink mixed with myrrh, but he did not take it. Then they crucified him and divided his garments, casting lots for them to see what each should take. Now it was the third hour, and they crucified him. And the inscription bearing the charge against him was, "The King of the Jews." And they crucified two robbers with him, one on his right hand and one on his left. And the scripture was fulfilled which says, "And he was reckoned among the wicked." And the passers-by were jeering at him, shaking their heads and saying,
"Thou who destroyest the temple, and in 3 days buildest it up again, come now from the cross and save thyself."
In like manner the chief priests with the scribes said in mockery to one another.
Others he saved, himself he cannot save. Let the Christ, the King of Israel, come down now from the cross, that we may see and believe.
And they who were crucified with him reproached him. And when the sixth hour came, there was darkness over the whole land until the ninth hour. And at the ninth hour, Jesus cried out with a loud voice, saying,
Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani,
which translated is,
my God, why hast thou forsaken me?
And some of the bystanders on hearing this said,
Behold, he is calling Elias.
But someone ran, soaked a sponge in common wine, put it on a reed and offered it to him to drink, saying,
Wait, let us see whether Elias is coming to take him down.
But Jesus cried out with a loud voice and the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. Now when the centurion who was facing him saw how he had thus cried out and expired, he said,
Truly, this man was the Son of God.
And some women were also there, looking on from a distance. Among them were Mary Magdalene, Mary, the mother of James the Less and of Joseph, and Salome. These used to accompany him to minister him when he was in Galilee, besides many other women who had come with him to Jerusalem. Now, when it was evening, as it was the preparation day, that is the eve of the Sabbath, there came Joseph of Arimathea, a counselor of high rank, who likewise was looking for the kingdom of God. And he went in boldly to Pilate and asked for the body of Jesus. But Pilate wondered whether he had already died. And sending for the centurion, he asked him whether he was already dead. And when he learned from the centurion that he was, he granted the body.
Just another confused theology, you may say. But Nestorius was raising a question that has tormented good Christians through ages. Was that writhing, blood-raw convict who cried to his father, "Why have you abandoned me?" really God's only son? Even today, many a Christian can live comfortably only with Easter Sunday. Good Friday is too much. Perhaps I should ask myself, is it only on Easter that exclamation of doubting Thomas burst from my lips, "My Lord, my God"? You know, even now, at this moment, the risen Christ somehow still carries the wounds of his passion. Glorified indeed, but still the scars of Calvary. Which leads to my question. Where do you go from here? How do we move all this from the abstract to the concrete, from theology to life, from the first century to the 20th, from Jerusalem to Palo Alto? After all, Jesus is no longer on a cross, even when I find him there in history. Granted, I reproduce his dying in my baptism and in my personal Calvary. He no longer suffers, he dies no more. Christ has died, Christ is risen. But can we transport the bleeding body of Jesus? Yes, indeed. For he told us how. Insofar as you did it to one of the least of these my brothers and sisters, you did it to me. The Jesuit poet Gerard Manley Hopkins sang lyrically, quote, "How Christ plays in 10,000 places, lovely in limbs and lovely in eyes not his, to the Father through the features of men's faces." Now it's not hard to find Christ, to discover God's image on lovely faces, Brooke Shields, on loving faces, Mother Teresa, on strong faces, John Paul II, on proud faces, Thomas More, on free faces, Oscar Romero, on faces that age gracefully, Kathleen Hepburn. Indeed, Christ is there, and yet he told us to look for him especially in the least of his brothers and sisters, those who seem completely insignificant, those who are in trouble or forgotten. We are to find him, therefore, in stomachs swollen by starvation, on lips parched with thirst, in hands arthritic with age, on faces torn with terror, in eyes empty in hopelessness, flesh eaten by cancer, bodies raging behind prison bars, strangers threatening our turf, a face with different color. Here, my friends, is today's Calvary, no longer limited to Jerusalem. The cross casts its shadow over the face of the earth. Whether it's thousands of South American refugees, whether it's Latin America with 7 out of 10 in abject poverty, or women and children blasted to bits in the north of Ireland. Here and everywhere, Christ is crucified again in his own children. He meets me in our own neighborhood. I passed so close to the very people Jesus specifically cited, the hungry and the thirsty, the naked and the stranger, the sick and the homeless. I passed so close to them, and so often I passed them by. As the gospel priest passed by, the poor fellow felt by thieves. I faced so many others who in our society fall under the least. I mean the black and Hispanic, asking only for the dignity that is their birthright, asking to be recognized as images of God. I mean the elderly lady or gentleman who wants only my ear. That ear I reserve for the beautiful people or the San Francisco Symphony and the early music singers. I mean the young student who is dumb, has no personality to speak of, needs someone to dump on. I easily plead other commitments. I mean all those who are afraid or alone, ridden with guilt, torn between security and risk, in so many ways hovering between heaven and hell. When Pope John Paul II launched his Central American pilgrimage in Costa Rica, he said on the tarmac of San Jose's International Airport, "I come to share the pain of Central America, to provide a voice for the tears or deaths of children, the anguish of the elderly, or the mother who loses her children, of those many thousands of refugees of the poor with neither home nor work. No need for you to join John Paul on his pilgrimages. The Passion of Christ is being played out right around you, in Palo Alto, in San Francisco, perhaps in your own home. Christ is there, not by some vague, eerie presence, but in each and every person. Reach out to someone, to anyone in agony of flesh or spirit. Share the person's pain, for that pain is the passion of Christ. If you can believe St. Paul, please God, on that Calvary where another Christ hangs, in your divine foolishness, you will discover or rediscover your own God."
Redo.
made this perfect sacrifice, win us your mercy and love. We ask this in the name of Jesus the Lord.
Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your heart.
We have
Yeah. Holy Spirit, all glory and honor is yours, Almighty.
services, usually we have refreshment in the lounge.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Of God and neighbor, neighbor.